Praise the Lord. It's good to be in Orange County Gospel Fellowship. And thank God for the gospel. Amen. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. 49 years ago, I had an encounter with Christ. I was a drug addict and alcoholic. Had my second nervous breakdown. Had an encounter with Christ in Appleton, Wisconsin at my grandparents' house. Changed my life forever. The gospel is the good news about Jesus. We're here to talk about Jesus today. We're here to preach Christ. We're here to lift him up. I like to tell people I'm not very impressive. Ask my wife. But the one who lives in me is incredibly impressive. His name is Jesus. And I've heard some people, and even some preachers, say there's more than the gospel, and I think I understand what they're saying, but the real thing they should be saying is there's more in the gospel that the church doesn't understand. Like they said, scholars have plumbed the depth of the gospel, and it's so deep and so profound and yet so simple that a child can understand it. And I want to honor this church as part of the Fellowship of Christian Assembly, and Pastor Shelley and Beverly have been a big part of that, and we're so thankful for all that they do here and around the world. I've always wanted to come to Goshen since I read about it in the Bible. I always wanted to come to the land of Goshen, and now I can tell people I've been to the land of Goshen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we've gathered in your name. We thank you that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we have one desire, that your son Jesus would be exalted, and then exalting him, you would be exalted. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and have your way as only you can. We pray that you would move by under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to touch each heart. I pray for everyone that is here and everyone that will see this message, that something will happen in their heart, that their heart will be transformed, that our heart will be changed today. We didn't just come to go to church. We came to encounter you. We came to come into your presence. We came to communicate with you. We came to have fellowship with you. We came to see you move by your Holy Spirit. And we pray you'd speak to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when we started this service and I heard praise when surrounded, I thought, I've got the right message. Because when I was getting ready for a large conference we're having our church, and some well-known international speakers were coming, I planned my message out. I was one of the speakers. I was all ready to take the message I had prepared for weeks. And our missionary had come home, and he was going to be at the conference, and we're having a prayer time at the altar. We have a thing called man prayer where men gather every Thursday morning. Been going on for over 20 years, and men come and pray, usually anywhere from 40 to the most we've had is 175 men, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I get all ready. I'm all excited. The conference is going to start in a couple of days, and the missionary lays hands on me and said, Lord, even if Pastor Dan has a message, we thank you, you're going to give him a new one. After you're prepared for a few weeks for this international conference and you're ready to speak and you thought, boy, Lord, you really spoke to me about this message, but something started to kind of irritate me. At first it was, you know, I think he's just like praying prayers. God, I already prepared the message. And then I went and I knelt down at the altar the next day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit at first. I heard a voice say, you will surrender. I said, I'm not surrendering to the enemy. I'm not surrendering. Men don't like the word surrender, do we? Men don't like that word, surrender. But I said, Lord, I'm not going to surrender to the enemy. And he said, no. He said, it's me speaking to you. I want you to surrender. And he said this, and this is the message this morning to you and to me. You are surrounded. You will surrender. You are surrounded. You will surrender. And praise him when you're surrounded. We're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 6. Because a lot of times we get our eyes focused on the wrong surroundings, and I realize the Lord said there's two things that surround you, and he dropped a message in my heart that wasn't my message, it was his message. And how many of you know his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts? And he downloaded into my heart a few minutes the message you're going to hear this morning. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8-23, and the title is, You Are Surrounded, You Will Surrender. And the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad II, was warring against Israel. And God is always the star of the scriptures. I think we probably figured out from Genesis to Revelation, the whole movement of God's story is about his son Jesus and what Jesus does to restore mankind. The whole meta-narrative of scriptures, the whole meta-narrative of the word of God is that we will become a people who will be totally in love with Jesus and will be about his plan. And God's the star of the scriptures. And in this picture, Elisha is the co-star. And God is the God who sees us. He is also the God who keeps us. And he's the God who shows us incredible mercy. And God showed me something that morning. So let's look at what we can learn from Elisha in this passage. So I think there's some amazing things that we can learn, that you are surrounded by enemies. You are surrounded by darkness. You are surrounded by a whole bunch of things. But it doesn't have to control your life or my life. Verse 8 in 2 Kings chapter 6 says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' One of the servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Surely he is in Dothan.' Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, 'This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man you seek.' But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria, then Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see.' And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and then they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, 'My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?' But he answered, 'You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your own sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master.' Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel." So this morning I want to say to you, you and I are surrounded just like Elisha and his servant were surrounded. The king of Syria was making battle plans to wage war. There's a lot of plans going on in the world that we live in. And Israel knew what he was doing before he even did it. How did they know? The king of Syria thought that maybe one of his people were letting Israel know what was going on, but it wasn't one of his people. It was the prophet Elisha. We need men and women like Elisha that hear from God. We need men that have encounters with God. I don't want to just go to church and learn how to look at the back of someone's head. I want to have encounters with the living God. And when you have encounters with the living God, the God of Elisha, the God of the scriptures, it's amazing what begins to happen in people's lives. He wanted to know, and I remember one of my first encounters. I have a friend in Texas. I'll be with him in a couple of weeks in Dallas at an AGLOW conference. Chuck Pierce, he's been to my church a number of times. I'll remember one time when I was sitting in my office and one of the men that I'd known for years came in. He slapped the keys on the desk and I'm done with this and I don't like this prophetic stuff and I don't like this conference that you're going to have and I'm done with the ministry. And I never had an argument with him in 20 years. I was shocked. I'm sitting in my office and nobody knows. I haven't talked to anybody. I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, he's the head of the men's ministry. He's left. And the phone rings and it's Chuck Pierce. Said, "Brother Dan," he said, "could you come pick me up in 20 minutes? I said, "Sure." Now, he's 3 miles down the road in a hotel. I haven't left my office. I haven't said anything to anybody. The man's just walked out of the office. He doesn't really know the man. He said, oh, by the way, that man that was just in your office that slapped the keys down on the desk and told you he was leaving the men's ministry, don't worry about it, it's God. You can come pick me up in 20 minutes. That gets your attention. I remember the first time he came to our area, he said, oh, by the way, he said, since you'll know that the Lord has sent me, there's going to be an earthquake right outside your city when I show up that morning. This was like 4 days before he came. Morning he came, there was an earthquake in the city next to our city that shook our city. You tend to listen to people like that. And another time he came into my office with his assistant, Brian. He was sitting in the office and said, Brother Dan, you all got a demon in your office. I go, oh, great. I got Chuck Pierce here and I got a demon in my office. And I don't even know I got a demon in my office. He goes, there's been a demon assigned to your finances. He goes, but it's going to get out of here today. And he goes, demon on the finances, in Jesus' name, get out of here. With God as my witness, behind my back, I felt like a hydraulic go right out of the office. That day, without saying anything, the offering was double the best offering we'd ever had. Of course, when I tell this story to my pastor friends, they want someone to come and cast the demon out of their office too. But it's not always a demon problem. So here was Elisha. He was warning the king of Israel that this is the place where your enemy is going to attack you. And they were surrounded. They were surrounded by a great and mighty army. Elisha knows what's going on in your bedroom, they told him. And we need people that hear from God today. Sadly to say, there's many Christians that don't ever hear from God or don't know. They've heard from him because they've been born again. They've told me they've never heard God speak. But I said, you wouldn't be saved if you wouldn't have heard God speak. The king said, go and see where he is. So he wanted to get Elijah, and they found him. They said, you'll find him in Dothan. Dothan is 12 miles north of the capital city of Samaria. He knows the plans of your bedroom. I think he knows what you're going to do. So they went to Dothan looking for Elisha. And the next morning, since I'm from Seattle, I picture he probably got up to have his Starbucks. And he was out, you know, got out of the tent or wherever they were, and he steps outside and he looks and sees the whole Syrian army. How do you like to wake up in the morning and have the Syrian army outside your house? And he does what most people would do. He freaks out. There's chariots and horses, and it's amazing. And the servant says, Elisha, alas, my master, what shall we do? He only saw two against an army, and the problem is, we all know what we're surrounded by in the natural. We all know what the natural things say to us. I got tired during the pandemic of people from my church and people I know sending me these conspiracy emails. I said, send me a word from God. I don't want to hear what CNN says. I don't want to hear what Fox News Network says. I want to hear what GNN says, God News Network. It's called the Bible. Let's send words to what God would say to people. During the pandemic, they said where the church is that I planted 38 years ago, that my son is now the senior pastor for the last 6 years. They said on CBS News that the worst street in the United States of America during the pandemic is on Airport Road between Highway 99 and the next block. And guess where our church is, Sunrise Christian Center? It's right in the middle of that block. And I said, hallelujah, what a great place to have a church. In the worst block in the city of the U.S. that CBS News has said. And I said, God's going to show up there. I don't know about you, but man, I love it when people say, oh boy. I like those Rocky movies. Don't you like Rocky movies? Underdog? We need some Rocky Christians. I like it when the odds are all against us. I like it when there's nothing but God has to show up. He lets us get in those situations, and we're surrounded by problems. We're surrounded by all kinds of bad news. We're surrounded by an election. We're surrounded by all kinds of things going on in Israel. And we get our eyes on those natural things, and we're just like the servant saying, what shall we do? And we need some Elishas to come and say, God, open their eyes to what's going on. Open their eyes to see into the realm of the Spirit. Open their eyes to see what I'm doing. You know what? It's time for the world or the church to quit telling the world how evil evil is. You don't need to take time to tell the world how evil evil is. We need to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. We need to declare that his goodness will overcome evil. How do we overcome evil? By doing good. I don't know about you, but you know what we did? We showed up everywhere when all the darkness started to take over. We showed up in the middle of it. Matter of fact, there was people that got mad at some of us, my son and I. We showed up at Black Lives Matter movement. We showed up in the middle of CHOP when they took over. We just showed up and started to preach the gospel. We thought, what an opportunity. I said, don't send me any video. Get in the middle of the video. David just showed up. He just showed up with a slingshot. He showed up by, you know what? He showed up with cheese sandwiches. He became the cheese sandwich delivery boy. And that's how he met his Goliath. They didn't even know he was sitting on the backside of a hill. And all the rest of the army was shaking in his boots. And he just said, who's that uncircumcised Philistine that's on my covenant property? Because he on the hillside, had spent time alone with God, and he'd heard from God. And he knew that no uncircumcised Philistine should be on his covenant property. And he had a prophetic word that he would one day be the king of Israel. He said, no Goliath can kill me, because one day I'm going to be the king. Even though my own family, even though my own brothers, even though my own father, he said, but I've got a slingshot and I've learned how to use it. And I love what it says that David ran toward Goliath. David ran toward his enemy. And we need to start to run into the middle of problems and pressures. It's amazing when you just show up. See, the church sits back and criticizes everybody and send videos out. I said, don't send me more videos. People got mad at me. They said, Pastor, you showed up at the Black Lives Matter movement. I said, what a great place Jesus showed up. When you show up, Jesus shows up. You sit at home and just send emails and little bad clips to people. You don't change anything. You just cause people to get more fearful. We need to show up in the middle of these things and say, God is here. God loves you. God cares about you. I've got good news for all of you. Amazing what happens when you and I show up. Like Elijah, we're surrounded by enemies. And when the Lord dropped this message, he said, I want you to study my scriptures. Because he said, I'll tell you what people are surrounded by. So I started to study the scriptures. And I looked everywhere in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation about surrounding. It says in Psalm 17:9, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me, there will be people that hate you. You will be surrounded by enemies and people that hate you. So expect it. Why do we act surprised that people hate us? They hated Jesus. Oh, it's so bad, Pastor. They persecuted me. I said, oh, you should go to some places I've been. I want to talk about persecution. Some of my Bible school students in India got killed for their faith in Jesus. I'm with my friend Dr. Matthew Thomas, and he said, see that man on the platform that walks like this? I said, yeah. He said, you know how that happens? I said, no. He said, see the joy on his face? Every time he goes to his village, they beat him with sticks and they break every bone in his legs. And as soon as he gets healed, he goes back to his village and preaches the gospel. And I have people that say, well, Pastor, we got so many people at the church, I gotta walk like 2 blocks to get to the church service. I said, oh, it's terrible, isn't it? You have to walk 2 blocks for Jesus. So somebody can park next to the church that needs Jesus. Please, give me a break. Just saying. Habakkuk 1, 4, and 5, therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgments proceeds. Look among the nations and watch. Be watching. For I will work a work in your days that you would not believe though it were told you. We're surrounded by immorality. We're surrounded by darkness, perverseness. And we're not only surrounded by external things, we're surrounded in the scriptures by many internal things that we can struggle with. 2 Samuel 22:5, when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Fear and death can surround us. Fears are something that the enemy uses often to captivate the people of God. And people that don't know him. Hosea 7:2, they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. No, now their own deeds have surrounded them that are before my face. Sometimes it's our own deeds that surround us. Our afflictions, our calamities, our anguishes, our great grief, our harm, our illnesses, our misery, our sorrows, and our troubles. If we only look at that surrounding, guess what? We're going to be discouraged and depressed. I said, we've got to get people's eyes up at another surrounding. There's two surroundings. There's the surrounding of the enemy, and there's the surrounding of the Lord. And which surrounding you get your eyes on is what's going to determine how your life goes. Yes, we live in a fallen world. Yes, we live in a place surrounded by darkness. But I praise when I'm surrounded. I know who's going to show up. I am surrounded, and you're surrounded, and you will surrender to one of those surroundings. You'll either surrender to the surrounding of the natural, of the evil, of the darkness, of the fallen world that we live in, the domain under Satan, or you will surrender to the King and the kingdom of God. And when you surround and surrender, when you're surrounded by his presence, when you're surrounded by his glory, when you're surrounded by his love, when you're surrounded by his favor, things change. You will surrender. What shall we do? That's what the servant said. He said, Elisha, what shall we do? And he said, do not fear, for there are more with us than there are with them. Now, I don't know about you. When you look in the natural, it doesn't look that way. But that's why you can't look in the natural. Because you are extremely at the better odds having the kingdom of God on your side. Of having access to not only God, but all the holy angels. He's got a mighty army that surrounds you. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord surround those who fear them. When I went to Korea the first time, for 17 days I was ministering in Korea. Not a whole lot of fun. I realized on the first day, I thought I'm going to be here 17 days. And the young man I'm staying with doesn't speak English. I said, I'm going to miss my wife and my family. Why did I say it? They're going to squeeze everything out of me morning, noon, and night. They're a hungry people in Korea. And I said, what was that meat we ate? And he said, dog. I said, we ate a dog? Yeah, dog. I thought, oh my goodness. I told the guy, he said, you eating dog? And he said, no, he's saying duck. You just can't understand his, you ate a duck. You didn't eat a dog. Every time I walked into the church, there was a dog tied up. And I said, will he be here when we get back? I was feeling sorry for myself. And they said, oh, by the way, we gave you one day off, but you're really not going to get a day off. It was about 9 or 10 days. I was tired. It was, you know, preaching, praying, prophesying, ministering, morning, afternoon, and evening, and then meeting with leaders. And I was feeling sorry for myself. And I was crying. And they were saying, well, there's a lady that wants you to come. I didn't know she was a multimillionaire. They said she wants you to come to the Grand Hyatt in Seoul, Korea, and her sister and her brother-in-law are going to be there. She wants you to prophesy over them, then she wants you to lead them to Christ. Oh, I said, was that all? And this is my day off. Yeah, okay. We'll do that. And so I go in the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Seoul. It's quite a hotel. And you're sitting there, people are playing violins and cellos, and everybody's dressed up. There's a Saudi Arabian sheik with all his regalia on. And his prince son is there. And I'm sitting there on this couch, and she goes, well, go ahead. And I said, go ahead and what? And she said, that's my sister. And there's this lady dressed in this beautiful dress, this man in this really nice Korean suit that looked like very professional. They're just sitting there. I don't know it's her sister. And they're talking through interpreter. And I'm asking the man who invited me, who speaks perfect Korean, who's a Korean, who's been involved with YWAM and all these international ministries. I said, why don't you go? She goes, she wants you. I said, why does she want me? She said, because they've seen angels around you everywhere you go. I said, well, I didn't see any angels. She said, well, everybody else is. So I got to minister to her. So I went like this. I put my hand up to ask her a question. When I put my hand up like this, the lady who invited me to minister to her sister, she was there with one of her, she flies across this couch. Flies across the couch, and she starts to speaking in tongues. Now, this is causing quite a stir in the middle of the hotel in the reception room where everybody's standing. They're watching this lady go like this, and he's going, hurry, prophesy over them. And the sister and the brother are sitting there like this. They don't look very happy. I said, I better close my eyes on this one, Lord. I said, interpreter, come here. I prophesy over and open my eyes, and she's just weeping, and she's shaking and weeping. I said, would you like to receive Jesus? Ask her if she'd like to receive. She received Jesus, and her husband just sitting there like this, just looking at me. I'm thinking, good thing I don't talk, because I don't know if they say anything bad about me anyway. I don't speak Korean. So I go, and then same thing happened. He starts weeping. And then after he stops weeping, then he receives Christ. And then she hands me an envelope with a bunch of money in. I said, no, I don't pray. She said, no, if you don't receive this, she's a multimillionaire. She will be insulted. And I go, well, I don't pray for money. And so she said, well, and she said to say, you will come to her factory tomorrow. She owns a big factory. She supplies all of the beakers and all of the things for all the chemistry and science labs. And she's a multimillionaire. And she really likes you. You will go tomorrow. I said, we're going to add that on to the morning, afternoon, and evening session. You will go, and she will have a lunch for you. And so anyway, make a long story short, and prophesied over all of her people. The angels of the Lord encamp about those who fear him. That's not just a nice little thought. That's just not a nice little idea for us to feel warm and fuzzy at night. The angels of the Lord encamp around Orange County Gospel Fellowship. They encamp about them. They encamp about you. And he says, Lord, I pray you'd open his eyes. I've been praying, Lord, open the eyes of your church to see you and the angelic forces that are with us. We need to see into the realm of the Spirit. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw the mountains full of horses and full of chariots on fire. They all surrounded Elisha. You are surrounded not only by God Almighty, but you're surrounded by the forces of heaven. First Corinthians 2:9-10 says, "Above his written eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." And most people think that's about heaven, but guess what? It says, "But God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit." We need a revelation of who God is. We need a revelation of the Holy Spirit speaking to people's hearts. I was a drug addict, alcoholic. I was crazy. I had two nervous breakdowns. And when I told them that God is speaking to me, they thought I just was on another drug trip. Then they really started to realize God was speaking to me. He said, "My sheep hear my voice," in John 10:27, "and I know them and they follow me." You can be assured that you're surrounded by the presence of God. On the way out here, I was on the plane. Nobody's in my row. But when I got here, I rode in the van to get the car that brought me up here at Newark Airport. There was a man named Eliezer, and I figure, you know what, if my steps are ordered by God with somebody who's alone with me in the van, there's a reason they're alone with me in the van. He asked me to get in first. I said, "No, you get in first, sir." And we sat there, and he started to share his story about how he was a burn victim. He said, I told him I was from Seattle, and he said, "Guess what?" He said, "I put the 5G in the Climate Arena where they have the new hockey thing for the Seattle Kraken." Said, "Oh, by the way," he said, "I'm sorry," but he said, "I've got 37% of my body was burned." That I was in Florida. I was going down the road in my pickup, and somebody ran into me and flipped my truck over. It rolled a number of times. The person drove off. They never found out who did it. He said, "Because I went upside down, the car exploded, caught on fire, my truck. And because I was upside down, you don't see any burns here, but he pulled up his leg. His leg was burned all the way up." I said, "With a name like Eliezer," I said, "you must know the Lord." And my friends call me Eli. I said, "I'd like to pray for you." And he let me pray, and he got teary-eyed when I asked God to restore some of the things in his body. I've seen God put eyeballs in people's sockets. I've seen God grow toes on people's feet. I've seen God do incredible things. I watched God and a lady in our church put a kidney and a bladder back inside her body that she didn't have. That'll mess your head up. I don't care how much you walk in the Spirit, that messes your head up when you see a toe grow on somebody's foot in front of your eyes. Saw two Vietnamese young gals in our area, saw their legs, one went out, grew out 2.5 inches, the other one grew out 1.5 inches in front of my, not just an adjustment. I mean, they had spacers in their shoe, had a word of knowledge. See, when God speaks to you, he does something. He doesn't just speak to speak. He loves people. He loves to touch people. He loves to heal people. He loves to surround us with his presence. He loves to surround us with his anointing, that people can be loved, that people can be blessed, that people can be encouraged. We need to have people that realize they're surrounded by God's army. See, faith helps us see what God is doing in the supernatural realm. In Hebrews 11:27, the great passage, the heroes of the faith, the hall of faith, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured his seeing him who was invisible." We need to see the invisible one. We need to see into the realm of the Holy Spirit. We need to see the Jesus of the scriptures. We need to have revelation from God, and we need to have our eyes open that have been blinded. And when the Syrians came down to get Elisha, he said, "Lord, blind them." And God struck them with blindness. I believe in the last days we're going to see some of these things happen again. I believe that the world's yet to see what God's about to do. I think all the things that have been going on are set up by God for people to come and to know him as their Lord and Savior. And then he says, okay, enemy, oh, Syrian army here, let me take you by the hand. He took him on a wild goose chase. He said, here, I'll take you to where Elisha is. He was Elisha. You're going to take your enemy on a wild goose chase. And he puts him right in the city, and then he says, now, Lord, open their eyes. And what does the leader of Israel say? He says, my father, shall I kill him? He said, well, you didn't really catch him. How can you think you should kill him? You're not the one that caught him. He said, God and I did. And he said, as a matter of fact, the Bible says we're supposed to love our enemies. We don't want people destroyed. People are not our enemies. It's the forces of darkness. It's behind those things. It's the evil spirits that we're against. We're not against people. And he said, let them go. Feed them. Feed your enemies. Love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Bless them. Show the love of Christ to people. It was all the way even back in the Old Testament. He says, open his eyes. He said, my father, shall I kill them? No, we're not supposed to kill people. We're supposed to love people. He showed kindness to his enemies. He told them, give him food and give him something to eat and something to drink. And you know what happened? They loved their enemies and they quit raiding them. It says they stopped the raids. They had been raiding them for years. And it all stopped. You are surrounded. You will surrender. I said you are surrounded. You will surrender. You'll either surrender to the natural things that are all around you, the problems, the pressures, or you'll begin to praise when surrounded. You'll begin to say, Lord, I thank you. I'm surrounded by you and the holy angels. I'm surrounded by the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is within me. I thank you that in this moment you're going to show up. You're going to reveal your presence. You're going to reveal your glory. And then God showed me this principle. I've never forgot. He said, I want you to learn the set principle, S-E-T, the set principle. He said, whatever surrounding you surrender to will determine your life. That's why I always start my day off by saying, Father, I did it this morning. Father, I receive your love. Lord Jesus, I receive your love and your grace today. Holy Spirit, I receive your love and communion and fellowship. Father, show me what you're doing today that I might work with you. Lord Jesus, show me what you're doing with the Father that I might work with you. Holy Spirit, show me what you're doing with the Father and the Son today that I might work with you. I don't want to work for you. I want to work with you. I don't want you to join what I'm doing. I want to join what you're doing. I want you to show me. I want you to bring the message that I'm supposed to bring to Orange County Gospel Fellowship. I don't want to bring my message. I want your message. You're going to surround this place with your presence. They're going to surrender to the right surrounding. They're going to surrender to you, Lord, and to your holy angels. They're going to surrender to your surrounding and not what the natural enemy surrounding would cause them to do. Then the word E says, whatever your eyes focus on, whatever you keep your eyes fixed on, you will surrender to. Proverbs 23:5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Don't you set yourself on the riches of earth or that surrounding. Set yourself on the riches of Christ. Moses esteemed the riches of Christ greater than all that Egypt could afford him as the adopted son of Pharaoh. The woman with her two mites, Jesus said she gave more than all the rich people. The economy of heaven is different than the economy of earth. And what are you going to trust in? It's not only the surrender to the surrounding, the S, it's not only keeping your eyes fixed, but then whatever you keep your eyes fixed on, you'll start to trust in. There's people that are experts on all the bad things that are happening in the church. There's people that have whole ministries telling other people which Christians to watch out for. I don't want to lower myself from the message of telling people who Jesus is. That Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's the Savior of the world. He arose from the dead on the third day, and we don't really preach the whole gospel. We need to go back to the book of Acts and preach the whole gospel. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pilate. You know what? He lived in a borrowed tomb. I love what that right before the message. That was the gospel. Most people say, oh, you know, shut your eyes. You can read, you know, just Jesus will forgive your sins. And tell them about the Jesus that was born of the Virgin. Tell them about the Jesus that left heaven. Tell them about the Jesus that was in the plan and mind of God before the foundations of the earth. Tell them about the Jesus that rules and reigns over nations. Tell them about the King of Glory who humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Tell them about my Jesus. Not some little thing that you add on to the end of a message, but the Christ who arose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father in power and glory that every man and woman and child will one day stand before. He's the God who loves you. He doesn't want you to have to face the judgment of your own life through your own bad deeds. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to be loved. He took upon himself all your sins and all your shame that you could receive all his righteousness and holiness. The greatest message the world has ever heard and will ever hear. Then we got people, well, you know, Fred said this on one tape and we shouldn't listen to anybody like him. He made one mistake. What about the 97 good things he did? Remember when Einstein, they in the class, and he wrote out, you know, these times tables, and he purposely didn't answer the last one right. You know what everybody did? They were, you answered the last one wrong. You know what he said to him? It's amazing. I got 9 out of 10 right, and all you focus on is the one I got wrong. And let's not be the church that's like that. Let's be the church that points to Jesus. Let's be the church that's surrounded by his presence. Then the Lord started to download to me these verses and just really encouraged me. It says in Psalm 5:12, when you surrender and you set your eyes on what he shows you, set your eyes on, then you begin to trust in the thing you keep your eyes fixed on. What you look at, you become like. That's why you need to look at Jesus every morning, why you need to look at his word, why you need to get into his word, get into his presence. When you sing songs of praise, I love this. Can I just be real honest? Our church is a praising church. I have to ask people to move because there's so many people at the front. I have to work my way through the crowd to get up to the platform in my church because people are worshiping. They worship for usually an hour and 15 minutes. People say, oh, you know, you can't do that in the United States because people won't come. Yeah, they're coming. They're getting saved and healed and delivered in the worship service. They're getting transformed. They're coming from every nation. They're coming from all different backgrounds. We're doing all the things you're told not to do, except the Bible says to do them. I said, we didn't come here to please people. We came here to worship Jesus. We came for people to have encounters with the living God. And I love your spirit here. I can be real honest, I travel for the FCA, and some people, I sit in the service and I go, how do they survive in this? My goodness, I would shrivel up. I'd go back in the back corner by myself. I'll praise when it's true. I'll praise because there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise when surrounded. I'll praise because you're true. I'll praise because there's nobody. How can you not sing about Jesus? I said, you crazy Seattle football fans. One little guy will carry a piece of pig across a white line. You go, ah! You yell so loud and you get a church service in here. We have Super Bowl every Sunday. We have the real Super Bowl every Sunday. We have a Jesus to celebrate, a Father that loves us. Psalm 5:12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround them as with a shield. You are God's favorites. You know that God has favorites? All of us. We're all his favorites. And you're surrounded by the favor of God. It's not a military Roman shield. It's like a big shield that they put around the United States Army when they go to battle. It's like a big cement. It's like a huge shield. The favor of God surrounds you. You're surrounded. You might as well surrender to his favor because you're one of his favorites. That's the 13 tribe, the tribe of the favorites. The Lord gave me permission to start it, and one of the people in church gave me a shirt that says, I'm one of the members of the favorites, the 13th tribe. You know that the favor of God surrounds you like a shield everywhere you go. The favor of God. People say, Pastor, how do you meet these people? I say, the favor of God. I don't even try to meet the people. I don't even call them. I didn't call Shelly and say, Shelly, I want to speak at your church. I didn't meet all these people. They said, how did you meet all these people? You meet all the people and you know all the people everybody wants to meet. I said, I worship Jesus every day. I just love him. Yes. I'd really like you to come to our church. They call me and invite themselves to our church. Hello, you have the favor of God. People are, I'm going to try harder. I said, just surrender to the favor of God. I have a person who's been delivered. He shows up on October 31st at a harvest carnival. I met him at a Foursquare church. because Jack Hayford's brother, Jim Hayford, was the Foursquare pastor, and this guy showed up and said he was one of the Wiccans. It was the Points of the Star in the Seattle area, that he's one of the five leaders over the Wiccan movement. He said he didn't want to deal with him. He knew I dealt with stuff like that. Would I come and deal with this person? I came and dealt with him. He got delivered. He went back into witchcraft. He showed up in my office. I didn't know he'd come back into witchcraft. I'm just at the Harvest Carnival. I come back. I'm sitting in my office. He comes in with a friend. And all of a sudden, he decides he's going to attack me. He's also been trained by the same martial arts instructor that Bruce Lee was trained by. He had thrown four King County police officers around like ragdolls. Sure glad I have the favor of God on my life. So he charges me. And when he charges me, he gets about this close, and he runs into some kind of wall or something, and he flips back on the ground. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I guess Psalm 512 is really something a lot more than a nice little word picture to make you sleep at night. Then he gets up and runs at me again. He bounces off some wall and goes flying back, and I'm going, Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm just so glad of Psalm 512. You are a really good shield, Lord, because he could kill me. And then his friend, who's about 300 pounds, he grabs him like this with two fingers, throws him. He flies like 15 feet across my office, smashes into the wall. He jumps and runs past me and starts biting his friend on the ground like a dog. And I'm still sitting there going, Lord, I thank you for Psalm 512, that you're my shield. And I go, oh my goodness, I think he's going to kill him. You know, it's almost surreal. You don't normally plan to have things happen like that in your office at a Harvest Carnival. And so I don't know what to do. I just said, in the name of Jesus. And when I said, in the name of Jesus, he went flying off and back across here, landed on the ground, started screaming. They're driving a stake through my heart. Found out he'd been in all kinds of witchcraft. He got totally delivered by the power of God. You're surrounded by the favor of God. Psalm 512 says he surrounds the righteous with favor. So expect favor everywhere you go. And when he gives you favor, you use it for his glory, not your own. It's to help people. It's to love people. It's to bless people. It's to help other people go through doors. It's to help other people meet those people. He surrounds you, it says in Psalm 32:7, with songs of deliverance. That's why we sing, we praise. We praise when surrounded. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. That's why there's songs that attract the body of Christ at certain seasons, because they're like songs of deliverance that we sing. You know, praise is so powerful. I love 2 Chronicles 20. It said when Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, there was a prophetic word. How many of you know it was not a good idea to send a worship team out against the armies that have spears and shields and swords, but that's what God said to do. And I love what it says in 2 Chronicles. And when they began to praise the Lord, he began to set. He didn't wait for the song to be over. He didn't wait for the coda. He didn't wait for the chorus. As soon as they began to praise the Lord, God began to set ambushments against the enemy. When you begin to praise the Lord, things begin to happen. In Psalm 32:8-10, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Keep your eyes on his eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule. See, horses have to be bridled because they're the Christians that want to run off ahead of God. And some of us are like mules, and God has to get a hold and pull us like with a bridle. I hope you're not a horse or a mule Christian. I hope you're a sheep Christian. He says, guess what? Don't be like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. You're not only surrounded with favor, you're not only surrounded with songs of living, but you're surrounded by mercy. When the enemy comes and says, oh no, this is a lot, you've done too much, guess what? God's mercy is surrounding you. Mercy is surrounding you. His mercy. Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. An endurance race. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You realize the witnesses that have gone on before? It means that one's in the highest parts of the grandstand. They're watching us in the race. I love Hebrews chapter 11. For without faith, it's impossible to please God, but those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It says, and the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know what the word framed is? Cartizo, But it's interesting, the word worlds, it means eons. It means ages. It means the men and women of faith that heard a word from God and obeyed it, they changed the course of the ages. They changed the course of history by obeying a word of God. And it says without faith, you know what it means? Without, the whole word without means outside the city limits. Without faith, outside the city limits, outside the limits of God's will, guess what? You can't please him. If you saw my address, it says 11825 40th Avenue Southeast, Everett, Washington, 98208. But guess what? I don't live in the city of Everett. I live in the county. They just put the name on it. So if I call the Everett police, they won't come to my house. I can't vote for the Everett mayor because I live outside the city limits. I can vote for the county. I can call the Snohomish County Sheriff. They're in my jurisdiction. So, you know what? Men and women of faith are those that live inside the limits of God's will for their life, and they please God. And they change the course of history. Isn't that what Moses did? Isn't that what Abraham did? They all heard a word from God. People say, oh, it's all about creation, all the worlds that are out there. I said, no, I think you miss it. The whole passage is not really about creation. It's about the men and women of faith. It's about the men and women that change. If you hear a word from God, you can change the course of history. Or you might be the person that connects someone that will change the course of history. That's why it's so important you're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. The Lord himself surrounds you. It says in Psalm 125:2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. I love the forevermores and the ever and ever and world without end. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says it's the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces and divides asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But you're surrounded. I want you to look at someone and say, you're surrounded. And then tell them you will surrender. And ask them which surround they're going to surrender to. There's people that major in telling everybody how bad the world is. Yes, we're surrounded by those things, but you don't need to be controlled by that surrounding. Remember Colossians 3, it says that. You've been risen with Christ, guess what? Set your mind on the things of heaven. Set your mind on the things where Christ is seated at the right. Don't set your mind on the things of earth. See, if you surrender to the right surrounding, if you keep your eyes on the things that he says to keep your eyes on, and you trust in what you see, guess what? Your life will be transformed. You'll carry the presence of God everywhere you go. And every one of your steps will be ordered. We say that. People say, oh, my steps are ordered, Lord. I said, well, how did you order your steps today? Whose path did you come across? Why did you meet that person at the store? Why did you pray for that person? Why do you think that person was nice to you? Did you tell them about Jesus? You pray a prayer. Found out this week, one of the ladies came to church because we have an Uber driver in our church, and he hands everybody a card. He says, I'm an Uber driver. You don't even have to look at this if you don't want to, but he said, I go to a really good church. I don't know if you go to church, but here's a card. So this Hispanic gal and her husband, he gives the card to her husband over a year ago, and all of a sudden, he gets this idea like I'm supposed to go to church. He reaches in his pocket and pulls out a card that he was given a year before. One man giving someone a card, they come to the church, they get saved, they get baptized in water, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. The man that gave them the card doesn't even know that he affected them until they tell us the story. One simple act of obedience can change the course of someone's. You know what? We have big plans, big ideas. We're going to fill stadiums. We're going to get everybody on the same page. And Jesus says, guess what? I'm going to use a woman at the well that's committing adultery right now to change the city. I'm going to use the demonized guy that's cutting himself and is chained and is biting himself and, you know, is attacking people and we can't do anything. And he's going to change the 10 cities, the Decapolis. It's just simple acts of obedience, of reaching one person with the good news of the gospel, with sending a Samaritan purse box to someone in another country, of praying one prayer for someone. One of the last times I was in Uganda, I'm walking up the hill with Stephen Mayanja, and one of the worship leaders said, Pastor, I'm so glad you're walking up the hill at the same time. The last time you were here, you prayed for me, and my right eye was blind, and I felt something happen when you prayed. 3 days later, my eye opened, and I've always wanted to tell you thank you. You never know what one prayer will do. You never know what one act of obedience will do. So I encourage you today. You are what? You are what? You will? Which surrender are you going to, what surrounding are you going to surrender to? What CNN tells you, what Fox News tells you, or what God tells you? Amen. I figured that's what you'd say. Father, we thank you today and praise you that we surrender to your surrounding today. Like Elijah, open our eyes. Like the servant, open our eyes to see how much you love us. Open our eyes to see what you want to do in our life, Lord. I thank you that Orange County Gospel Fellowship is surrounded by the holy angels, is surrounded by the armies of God. And there's more with them than are against them. Lord, you even see in the building how you gave them the building. Even those that were against them couldn't stop what you were going to do. We thank you that when we face insurmountable odds in the natural, that you have greater odds in the supernatural. We thank you, you're a supernatural God. Everything about you is supernatural. I love when people say, oh, I don't believe in the supernatural. I said, you're a Christian? You don't believe in the super, what Bible do you read? The unsupernatural Bible? It wouldn't have any pages. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know how supernatural the heavens and the earth are? You know how supernatural is the way a human is born? You realize how supernatural all creation? How can you say it's not supernatural? But God, we are a supernatural people who invade the natural with your love and your grace, and we thank you it's you that do it in us and through us. We know without you we can do nothing. We yield to you. We surrender to you. There might be someone here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've surrendered to the wrong surrounding. I've surrendered to the natural and to the natural things. Maybe you've never received Christ. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. I'll tell you, it's the greatest thing you'll ever do. 49 years ago, I was a drug alcoholic. I lost my mind. They told me I was paranoid schizophrenic at 21. My father was a renowned psychologist trained by Carl Rogers, graduated from the University of Chicago. He was the mayor of our city. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Army. He was a college athlete, had four varsity letters in college sports. Everything he touched, he couldn't help me. He didn't know what to say to me, but Jesus changed me. Then my dad got saved in his 70s and died at 92 going to heaven. You might be here and say, that's me, Pastor. Does anyone like that? You say, that's me, Pastor. I need to surrender to Jesus today. Wave your hand at me real quick. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you. Anyone? You say, that's me. I need Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I need to surrender. As a man, sometimes it's hard to say, I surrender. We'd rather push our way through it. We'd rather man up. I'll tell you, no one can man up like Jesus manned up. He fought the darkness. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love to speak in tongues. I love to pray in the Spirit. I love to build myself up in the most holy faith. When you pray in the Spirit, sometimes I don't understand something in the Scriptures. I begin to pray in the Spirit and say, show me. It might not happen that day, but then a few days down the road, one day I was praying, I was saying, Lord, I don't understand. You said you would purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What does that mean? And I studied all the Greek words and the Hebrew ideas and concepts and went through all the books. You know what happened? I didn't like what I read. It didn't make sense to me. It just got me more confused, and I forgot about it. I just said, God, would you show me? And then one day while I was just walking down the street, the Lord spoke to me and said, you know what dead works are, Dan? I said, no. He said, they're anything that doesn't have my life in them. Anything that doesn't. And I thought, you know what? Religious stuff, it just feels yucky. You don't need to even be real sharp to realize that this is religious. This doesn't have any life in it. It's just dead. It's a dead work. There's no life in it. But when Jesus is in something, there's life. There's freedom. There's joy. There's love. There's peace. There's long-suffering. There's kindness and gentleness. Anyone here, you say, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You might be a believer, but I've never spoken in an unknown language. I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Is anyone like that? You say, that's me. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number of you, 5. We're going to pray for you today. Maybe you just need to surrender something in your life. Maybe God spoke to you. You're surrounded by favor. You're surrounded by songs of deliverance. You're surrounded by mercy. Just let God surround you. You know, the best thing you can do is just surrender and just begin to worship and praise. That's what Jehoshaphat did. That's what Mary did. She chose the best part, Jesus said. She just worshiped and praised, and things began to happen. ask you to stand. I want to ask those that raised their hands to come over. I know there's some pastors and leaders that are going to come. They're going to help you. Raise your hands and say, I want to surrender to Jesus. I'd like you to come over here with some of the leaders and pastors, and I'll come and pray. And you that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, some of you, you can go on that side. And some of you that did raise your hand for both, I guess you can come in the middle. And whatever your need is, we're here to pray for you today. And remember, you are surrounded. You are surrounded by God. You're surrounded by the favor of God. You're surrounded by the blessing of God. And we'll praise when surrounded, right?
Hallelujah.
I love
Hallelujah.
That. But you got a lot of joy on your life. You know what the Lord told me before we started? He told me he's going to release creativity in you in a whole new way. That he's given you a creative genius. It's not totally been accessed, but God, I thank you for my brother. That you're going to release a creative ability in him. You're the God of all creation, the God of creativity. The Holy Spirit is the most creative person in the universe. And I think you're going to download creative things of songs. And he just showed me you're an artist, and you're someone that through not only your worship, but through things you show the beauty of God through your countenance, through your joy, through your love. And he's going to release the spirit of creativity in you that will release the creative things of God, that will release and equip others to have a new freedom to branch out and do things they've never done. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. If you need prayer, you come.
Praise
in the
mountain. I praise when I'm sure. I praise when I'm doubting. I praise when I'm numbered. I praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown. You're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign.